Parshas Kisetze, the parsha that has the most mitzvos in a single parsha, that is Kisetze. So there's a lot of mitzvahs to choose from. I think it's either 72 or 74, I forget. It usually has it probably somewhere in there. I forget if it's in the beginning of the parsha or I forget, but what's clear is it's the most mitzvahs in a single parsha. So one of the mitzvahs in the relative beginning is the mitzvah of Kavar Tikbareno Bayom Ahu, the mitzvah of Kvura, the mitzvah of burial. So there's an obligation. Well, I guess it can't be on the one who's dead already. Mesim Chafshi. So there's an obligation on the living relatives, the children especially, to ensure that the body be buried. In fact, there's a discussion in the Gemara in Sanhedrin. So just to go back a step, the original, what the Pasuk is talking about here is L'chiyeh ve'ish chet mishpat mavis. In other words, we're talking about someone who is killed by Haruge Beis Din. Someone who is killed by the Beis Din, they did a cardinal sin. There were witnesses and they were punished and they were killed. So the Gemara in Sanhedrin tells us they were put into a separate cemetery. In fact, even within the separate cemetery, there are different levels. In other words, people who got capital punishment of skila and srefa, burning and stoning, got one, hereg v'chenek, there are different levels. Like today, that's what people say is, why there's so many cemeteries? Just have one cemetery. Like the minhag is every shul has their own cemetery. So the basic assumption is, you know, that basically the people in the shul are similar and therefore they're all buried, you know, because there's no problem of burying a tzaddik versus a rasha or that type of thing. So either way, that's the halacha. The halacha the Torah talks about is if you were killed by Beis Din, so you were put into a special cemetery, and then the body decomposed, and then you were taken out after the atonement and buried in a regular cemetery. That's that Kavar Tikbareno. That could be the double language in the Pasuk. Kavar Tikbareno, one is because it's a double. One is the kvura that happened originally in your own separate cemetery. And then the second tikvareno is that you were buried, you were moved into a regular cemetery. So in fact, that's how others point that. So what's the source? How do we know that someone who dies naturally, not killed by Beis Din, how do we know there's a biblical obligation? How do we know there's an obligation to bury someone who dies naturally? So that seems to be a debate in the Gemara. I mean, everyone agrees you have to bury someone. The question is that a biblical obligation or a rabbinic obligation? Because the direct verse in the Pasuk is talking about someone killed by Mises Beis Din. So the two opinions in the Gemara, whether we learn now it's also min haTorah for someone who dies naturally, or is only midrabanan. The Meshech Chachma discusses the svara would be is that we learn out. That's why it says kfura twice. The first kfura is they get put into a separate cemetery, but then what do? After they get decomposed and they get forgiven for their sin that they committed Faruge Beis Din, so they have a status of a regular person, and now they're put into a regular cemetery, so we learn out from there that a regular person gets buried. Whatever the limud is, it's a debate in the Gemara, whether, because the Gemara, there's the Gemara talks about two things that seem to be similar, except they use one phrase is minayin, from where do we know, and another one is remez, where is an allusion to. So the commentators point out minayin refers to a biblical source, while remez refers to a rabbinic source. So that's a debate. Everyone agrees you have to be buried, but it's a debate whether it's biblical. Again, so someone killed by the basin, it's definitely biblical. You have to be buried. Someone who isn't killed by the Mises basin, so it's a debate in the Gemara whether it's biblical or rabbinical. And then the Gemara goes on to give us what is the reason behind the nature of kfura. In other words, basically to summarize and put it in my own words, is, or not the Gemara's words, is what's the nature of kfura? Is it basically kavod achai or kavod hames? Is it honor for the living or honor for the dead? In other words, why do I have to bury someone? Is it because it's an embarrassment to the dead guy just to leave him out, to the vultures, just to leave him out and watch his body rot and smell? So we basically, the nature of the mitzvah kfura is on, is for the mace, is for the one who is dead. What do I say? No, it's basically for the living. Not, it's an embarrassment for the kids, if like the parents are just lying out there and you're not taking care of it. So that's a debate, that's a discussion in the Gemara. Is it kavod achai or kavod hames? And the Gemara says, my nafkamina, what's the difference? You got to do it anyway. So perhaps the difference would be is, who has to pay for it? Whose money does it have to come out of the Yerusha? So in other words, if it's kavod hames, so then, if it's for the dead, so then it's up for the dead person to provide. In theory, I'm assuming the kid would pay for it. Obviously, if the parents can't afford it, then you'll do it for other reasons. Kivud Avim, tzedakah. But just from a academic point of view, is if it's kavod hames, then it's on the mace to pay for it. Again, pay for meaning it could come out of the Yerusha. I'm not saying, you know, they left money for it. Or if it's kavod achai, so if it's, why would the mace have to pay for it? You're doing it for your benefit, not for my benefit. Or the Gemara talks about, they used to have those people at the cemetery who used to sing, like lamentations to create a mood. It always reminds me of like in the old movies when you saw these like women singing at funerals, you know, in these churches, wherever they were, you know, singing. So that's what the Gemara talks about. They had that concept where people used to hire these people to create the mood. The Shulchan Aruch is who pays for them. So either way, so that's a debate in the Gemara, whether kfura is for a regular person, is it biblical or rabbinical? So if you look at the Rambam, so what's the nafkamina? Is, does a person have a right to say, I don't want to be buried? In other words, if it's al kavod hames, then in theory I should have the opportunity to say I don't want to be buried. If it's kavod achai, you don't have a say in the matter. It's nothing to do with you. So that's how the Gemara seems to leave it. So the Rambam, when he codifies the halacha, the Rambam writes, he talks about kfura, and he says, and if someone asks not to be buried, Ain shomin lo, you do not listen to him. So the question is, I think it's the Lecha Mishnah, one of the commentators on the Rambam says, like, where did the Rambam get this from? Like, this isn't what the Gemara said. The Gemara seemed to say, it depends if it's kavod hames or kavod achai, that's what the issue would depend on. The Rambam seems to ignore that issue and just say, that's it, you don't listen to him and you bury him anyway. And so, what's the pshat in the Rambam? So, based, I believe, on the Lecha Mishnah, the commentator on the Rambam, he says, no, this is pshat. In other words, the Rambam Paskin, in other words, there's a general debate, there's a general discussion in the Gemara, a different Gemara, many Gemaras, about a machokas between Rabbi Yehuda and Rav Shimon on whether Darshinan Taima Dekra, whether you could take the reason for the mitzvah and either limit the scope of the mitzvah or expand the scope of the mitzvah. So therefore, they point out that Rabbi Yehuda says, Eino darshinan taima dekra. And he says, we're not allowed to take the reason in, and that's it. Who cares what the reason is? I just have to follow the mitzvah regardless of reason. And Rav Shimon says, no, darshinan taima dekra. We're allowed to take in the reason and limit the scope of the mitzvah. So it's a machlokes. So what's the case the Torah talks about is that taking collateral from a widow. So that's all it says. You can't take collateral from a widow. So the question the Gemara wants to know is, what about you have a wealthy widow? Either she killed her husband, had a good life insurance policy, or she just was independently wealthy. Whatever the reason, she's wealthy. So the question is, does the halacha of not taking collateral from a widow apply to a wealthy widow? So Yudas says, ain't no doshin in time in the car. We can't take the reason into account. That's it. We can't take collateral, period. And Rav Shimon says, no. It's understood. It only applies to a poor widow. But if you're rich, then obviously there's no... What's the reason that we're afraid you might only have one blanket, one bag of yom, so therefore that's why we don't take collateral. But if you're wealthy, we're not worried about it. So that's the machlokas, Rabbi Yehuda. Do we generally paskin like Rabbi Yehuda? Eino darshinan taima dekra. We don't take in the reason for the mitzvah. And therefore, we don't take collateral from the widow. So that's what the Lecha Mishnah points out here. So what the Gemara seems to be darshinan taima dekra. The Gemara seems to say, if it's kavod ha'meis, then this. If it's kavod ha'chai, then no. Like, who's responsible, who has to pay? So the Lecha Mishnah, and he says, what's pshat? The Rambam seems to go against the Gemara. The Rambam makes a blanket statement. No, you never listen to the person. So the Lecha Mishnah learns that no. The Rambam paskins, kfura, even for shar mesim, even for a regular person, is biblical. So there's nothing to talk about. Eino darshinan taima dekra. And therefore, you can't take reasons. That's it. We paskin, it's biblical. We don't care what you want to do. We're going to bury you anyway. That's what the Rambam's paskining. But the Gemara goes through the whole discussion, kavod achai, kavod ha'meis. That's only according to the assumption that burials the rabbanans, and then they're discussing what was the reason behind the rabbi's takana. But we're talking about a biblical mitzvah, eino darshinan taima dekra. That's how the Rambam learns. That's how the Lecha Mishnah learns the Rambam. So what do you mean? So therefore, if a person says, I don't want to be buried, you don't listen. Why would they say, who would say they don't want to be buried? So they wouldn't say they don't want to be buried, but they'll say they want to be cremated. So if someone makes a request for cremation, do you have to honor it? So again, you might not have an option, legally speaking. So if you don't have any power, so you try to use the persuasion to try to explain to them the importance of Jewish burial and that. In fact, I just read an article, I think it was in the Yeshiva News, that someone went, I think it was an Israeli, actually is very, very young, to me very young, 51, and I guess he went to Vietnam. It doesn't say if he was vaxxed or not, but he caught corona, and he got very sick quickly, and he died like in a week in Vietnam. And I think the rule in Vietnam is if you die from corona, they cremate you. So they were going to cremate him, I guess, through the Chabad there, or Dhaka, you know, some different groups, Dhaka, so they ended up bringing the person back to Israel for burial. So sometimes you don't have an option for cremation, but obviously if we get, any time we have a chance to avoid it, we do. So therefore, the Rambam writes, we don't do, so let's say someone says they want to be cremated. So obviously we don't listen, but that's what the Rambam says. But so that was the question. The Lecha Mishnah writes, but Midrabayan, they wanted to know what the reason, but it's Kavod Achai or Kavod Ameh. So therefore the Rambam's writing that there's no cremation because we don't, you know, when we have a choice, we don't listen. In fact, what about, you have a different dilemma. So there in Vietnam, you got out of the cremation. Let's say there's a Shiloh that came up, I think, over COVID. So generally, we din ha-gemara, you could bury someone on the first day of Yontif with a Gentile, and strictly speaking, with a Jew on the second day of Yontif. Our minhag in North America is we don't do burial even on Yontif Sheni, but strictly speaking, we can. However, on Shabbos, we never do a burial. The Shiloh came up over COVID. Let's say the rule was that either you have to bury someone within 24 hours or we're going to cremate them. So someone died like right before Shabbos or whatever the case was. And basically the option was burial on Shabbos or cremation. So to me it seems to be clear, that's what the poskim say, that you do the burial on Shabbos in order to avoid cremation. Right? And then also a similar case I read is nothing to do with COVID. It was a different case. We spoke about non-religious people, apparently. The case was, I guess,
Can I call you back? Rabbi Green called me twice, probably before. Can I call you right back?
Yeah. How about just give me 2 minutes, I'll finish, and then you could dray with him.
Sure.
Yeah, so, or we could continue this at a later date. Which one?
Do you
want to
continue at a later date?
Yeah, either that or we'll do something. I'll just finish this off in a second and then we'll continue. I'll continue this point. Now, there's a lot more to go, but this point is that, so the case was, I guess they clearly the case was they asked this rabbi to bury a Jew, but it was in a non-Jewish cemetery. So, you know, we know we bury in a Jewish cemetery. You're not allowed to bury a Jew. So the Shiloh was, this was an Orthodox rabbi, and the question was, should I go ahead and do bury this Jew in a non-Jewish cemetery? If I don't, they're going to do it anyway. They're just going to get another rabbi, or who knows what the, in other words, that was the Shiloh he asked. You hear the Shiloh?
Yeah.
Yeah, so what would you say?
What are the two options?
Exactly, yeah. So I think also, what's the other option? So the case was in here is, the case was like...
The only option is non-Jewish cemetery or cremation?
Yeah, right. So basically, that's what it came down to, that if he didn't do it, then they were going to do cremation. They said, okay, I think they were going to do a cremation in a non-Jewish cemetery, but if you do it, we won't do cremation.
So I guess it depends if you consider, if there's any concern about a Avodah Zarah, you would tell
people,
it's better to bury them in a non-Jewish cemetery.
Right, so I guess, why does he say a non-Jewish cemetery is better than cremation, you would say?
Because if there's no concern with Avodah Zarah, then
what?
Both
answer,
but one is worse.
What Avodah Zarah? What do you mean, Avodah Zarah?
Because is it a non-Jewish cemetery like some, or a non-Jewish cemetery like a Catholic cemetery or a Buddhist cemetery?
Let's assume you. Like oh yeah, I'm even talking. Right. I mean, I'm even talking about whatever.
Yeah, the municipal cemetery.
Yeah, whatever they call it. Yeah, whatever.
And then I would say municipal cemetery. It's an easy decision.
Right. So you think it's better to be buried in a non-Jewish cemetery than to be cremated?
Correct.
Yeah. That would be my opinion as well. And that's the opinion, I believe, of Rav Asher Weiss. But what's your reason why it's better?
It's better because what's after about that? Like, you can still do everything else properly.
Right, so I'm just saying, yeah. So maybe
Jewish cemetery.
Exactly, we'll get into that, but just to write, the basic reason is, among other things, is, first of all, what's considered a non-Jewish cemetery anyway, but let's assume whatever it is, the point being is, the major difference I think he makes is because you should do the cemetery, you should do the funeral, try to develop a relationship with the individual, and then hopefully a week, a year, 5 years, convince him to take him out of the non-Jewish cemetery and move him into a Jewish cemetery. However, once you do cremation, that's permanent. There's no coming back from it. So therefore, cremation's usher and there's not going to be a body. Besides the fact, nothing to do with halacha, many people regret cremation later because they have no, you know, I guess they don't like the ashes sitting around. They want to have something to go back to. But either way, cremation is final, while burial, you could still change your mind on that.
Interesting.
So either way, yeah, so we'll continue our discussion.
Okay.
Keep in touch.
Yeah.